water some good stuff. Did you know you can't live without water? You realize the difficulties you would have without water? I think some of you people got into a ice storm. If you wasn't on the city water, your well went out because electricity went out. We sung some wonderful praise songs at the beginning of the service. And the way you sounded, I guess if you run out of water, it wouldn't rattle your house a bit. Right? Now let me put this to you. Are you saved? Are you saved? And do you know that you're saved? If you don't know you're saved, you need to get down to this altar and really get salvation to your soul, where you know that you're saved. I'm sure you wouldn't be like Abraham's concubine, had a 13-year-old son, and Sarah says, well, she's got to go. Abraham really didn't want to go along that line, but the Lord says, let her go. You know how much energy a 13-year-old boy has got? Their battery just don't run down real quick. But if you ain't got this water, your battery will run down. And that water that they were sent out with run out. It didn't happen over a couple hours. Didn't happen over a couple days. A 13-year-old boy, he can truck on through there for several more days. But when you run out of this stuff, sooner or later your battery is going to run dead. But I'm sure that if you're saved, when you run out of this water, it's not going to affect you a bit. You wouldn't be rattled at all just because you could not see some water to drink. Boy, the water's really nice. Nice to hear that commode flush. Amen? This stuff is a real luxury. But when you run out of it, you know. Don't nobody have to tell you you're out of water. You'll know it real quick. And so this concubine that Abraham said, she said, I will not see the death of my son. And so she got away from him. You know why she said that? She forgot the blessing that the angel spoke to her, that this child would become a great nation. Now, it's hard to become a great nation if you die off. God just can't perform his word. But it takes faith. It will always take faith to obtain the blessings of God. And we'll talk about two giants that slew King David. You say, Brother Don, you got the story wrong. It was David that slew the giant. Now, I've got the story right because I got a book that says there was two giants that slew King David. See, somebody's puzzled back there. It's nice when God just keeps revealing His Word to you. Give you a little wisdom and understanding about alcohol since it's been brought out tonight. Whatever you do, young people, old people, don't get into a vehicle with someone that's drinking. If you're not going to take a swallow of it, on any kind of dope, and boy, this world is on all kinds of drugs now. Do not climb into that vehicle. It may be your last ride. I had a neighbor moved in. Pretty good fellow. He worked on the boat. He worked off. He had a wife that come down with cancer pretty bad. Then he come down with back problems. But he was a drinker a little bit. He got loud one night, just a little bit. He come over the next day and apologized. I said, well, you wasn't loud at all what them other people used to be. So one Sunday night, I see sirens going through there and going down to the country road there, and I didn't know what happened. But the next morning, I realized what happened. My neighbor wasn't there no more. He had rolled his pickup truck, killed him, killed his wife. His wife's sister was critically in the hospital, didn't know if she was going to live or not. The other fellow was bunged up pretty good. You don't want to get in a vehicle with someone that's drinking. It may be your last ride. It's nice to hear the voice of God. I say it's wonderful to hear the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, you always want to do what God tells you to do. I'm sitting in the home there one day, and the Spirit of God says, polish the glittering spear. So I thought about that. And so I looked up the scripture. It does bring out about a glittering spear and the glittering sword. And there's a reason you polish it. When you face your enemy, you want your weapon to be at its very best. Because that may give you the very edge to destroy your enemy. When I was in the service, we had a rifle. And every once in a while, the inspector would come by and inspect everybody's rifle. It better be glittering. It better be polished. It better be functioning perfectly. Because when you get in battle, you ain't going to have time to polish it. When you get in battle, you're not going to have time to see if that rifle's working right. How are you going to react when the giant comes to your doorstep? I said, how are you going to act when the challenger comes to your doorstep? Will you have that glittering spear polished? What is the glittering spear, Brother Don? That's the Word of God. It better be polished real good, and it better be in your heart that you can defeat any challenger that comes before you. Amen? And you don't ever know when that challenger is going to show up. Thank God for a nation that we're living in. That's abundance of water. You can just stop just about anywhere you want to. Get you a hamburger, get you some chicken, get you a bottle of water, or get whatever you want. Just walk through that grocery store. You can get you a banana. Hallelujah! And we don't raise bananas in Arkansas, people. But ain't it nice to go down through that grocery store today and get whatever your heart desires? Amen? But what are you going to do when you go to the grocery store and there ain't nothing there? I'm sure you're not going to be rattled at all. Are you saved? I say, are you saved? If you're saved and you know it, it's not going to rattle you a bit. But if you're not saved, you're going to know it. So let's talk about these two giants, challengers, that slew King David. You have to realize that David knew one thing, that he was anointed to be the king of Israel. There was no doubt in his mind. But sometimes in situations, just hold on, hold on, hold on, you get weary. You get weary of it. So David was tracked down with Saul. Saul wanted to get rid of him. God allowed him to come to Saul, take his spear away from him, take the water away from him. But he didn't allow his servant to kill Saul. But you read in the very next chapter there, the first verse, David makes a comment. You know why? He had done got weary of the situation. He says, I know that one day I will die at the hand of Saul. Why would he ever say that? He forgot the blessing. He got weary of the situation that kept holding on to him. But I'm sure that wouldn't rattle you a bit if you're saved. If you're really saved, that wouldn't rattle you a bit. The scripture says, know what is freely given you. You'd be surprised if people in the church house don't know that. Says your bread and water is sure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But what you going to do when you don't see it? What are you going to do when you can't pull into that service station and get your heart's desire, whatever you want? When the situation just keeps holding on and holding on and holding on. Yes, these two challengers that come up against David, they didn't just disappear at the slaying of a rock. They kept challenging him. And he fell. Because the scripture said it did. Extra, you want to read about it? Go to 1 Samuel 25. And I know you know the story. Here it is, David has done run out of groceries. He can't go down there and get those bananas. He can't get that T-bone steak. He can't even get a hot dog. Brother, let me tell you something. When you run out, you're out. Have you ever experienced it? I have. But I know a God that's going to fill my table again. Hallelujah. First Samuel 25 and 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also on his sword. Now this is done with David and Nabal. David had, if you don't know the scripture, shame on you. I shouldn't have to quote it to you. Because you're going to be in bad shape one day, people. You better have this word in your heart. When that challenger comes before you, you can't go back in this word, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Brother, the war is already on. And so Nabal turned David's servants down and sent them away empty-handed. David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David 400 men. And 200 abode by the stuff. Skip to 21 now. Verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain I have kept all this fellows that he hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath required me this evil for good. So, and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all of this person to him by the morning light, anything that pisseth against the wall. That's a dog. And people that act like dogs. What are you going to do when the groceries runs out? Are you going to be like King David? I got a right to just go kill this man and take his groceries and everything that is high. Brother, when you get into tight, you'll start justifying why you got a right to sin and break God's law. But if you're saved, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, Lord, you're going to furnish my table. And I'm not going to rob my neighbor. Amen. Amen. You see, David had to grow in faith like Abraham, like Don Stewart. You have to grow in faith. And so it was in King David's heart to sin and kill a man where he could get something to eat. You'll never be justified breaking God's law under any of those conditions, people. Neither was King David. The giant that slew King David was a thing called hunger. It slew him. I'm quite sure that King David did not write the 23rd Psalms before that. But after he had the experience of what God could do for him, then he wrote the 23rd Psalms. What are you going to do when you run out of groceries? I'm sure it's not going to rattle you a bit. If you're saved. If you're saved and you know it, it won't rattle you a bit. You'll know that your feet's on the solid rock. And you'll know the blessings of God, that your bread and water is sure. Even if you don't get it the first day, the third day, the 20th day, sooner or later, God is going to honor His word and He'll feed His people. But what are you going to do when the groceries runs out? That was the first giant that slew King David, was hunger. You just can't kill hunger with a sword or sling a rock. It takes faith in believing in God. I was there right after I bought my home down there. That was a miracle itself. God got me in a home there. And I'd run out of work. You ever notice people today, there's a lot of people out of work? And so I said, Lord, I can do a lot of stuff. I work on appliances, carpenter work, everything else just about it. And I've listened to a radio program. And this fellow had left New York, somewhere up in there, a brilliant brain in computers. And so he got a nest egg up where he could go to California. That's where all the big money is in computers, if you got a smart mind. And got out there, and he run out of money and still ain't got a job. I said, Lord, that sounds just like me. And the Spirit of God says, son, don't number yourself with the world. Saints of God, don't ever number yourself with the world. You're separate. You are sanctified. That word sanctified means you're set aside. God has set aside His people. Your bread and water is sure. Don't ever number yourself with the world. If you do, you'll go down with the world. The next giant that slew King David. You have to watch these giants, people. They'll slip up on you before you realize it. That giant of cancer. He's on the prowl just about every day. What are you going to do when the doctor says you've got cancer? There's some things, people, that doctors just cannot do. You better put your faith in the one that made the heaven and the earth and all things therein is. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know the story. It's found in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. And the second verse. The second giant that slew King David was called lust. Lust. The lust of the eye. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, at this time, David had several wives, six or seven. So, just put it real mildly to you, he had plenty of women to take the burning out of his body. But the eye is never full. And he lusted after another man's wife and took her. That champion called lust slew King David. It says, when you sin, when you transgress God's law, it brings forth death. So you see, there was two giants that slew King David. But how are you going to react? How are you going to react? You said, Brother Don, I'll never get in that situation. Don't ever say never, people. Don't ever say never. What's happened to somebody else in this book can happen to you. But what are you going to do? Are you going to have that glittering spear polished that you can defeat the challenger that comes before you? Or is that word of God going to be dulled over and lust conceives and you commit sin and death comes upon you? There was two giants that slew King David. Got two more scriptures, then I'm going to be quiet. The first one is found in Ecclesiastes. As I can say, people, there's a lot of things going on in this world right now. And if you can't see them, you're blind. Jesus said to the people when they had, give us a sign from heaven. Now here's someone that's healing the sick, raising the dead, and they're still hollering for a sign from heaven. Can you imagine that? People getting healed of leprosy. How would you like to pick up a tab of 5,000 people pay the bill out of the dinner? I'm sure it wouldn't bother you a bit, would it? And they're still asking for a sign from heaven. What did he say to them? How is it that you don't see the sign? What kind of generation was it when Jesus walked on this earth? It was a wicked and adulterous generation. They couldn't see what was coming their way. I say they could not see what was headed to them. What did John the Baptist say to them? Who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You realize in 70 A.D., there was no such place as the land of Israel no more. It was completely destroyed. This was not a judgment of 60 years. This was not a judgment of 70 years in Babylon. It was a judgment of 2,000 years God put upon them. Who hath warned you to take heed what's coming upon America? I say, who has warned you to realize what is coming upon America and what is happening to America right now? Do you realize that this war that we've been fighting has lasted longer than World War II? You know why? It's because America, with its great military power, is under the curse of God. And the curse of God says if you go into sin, the curse of God says that one enemy of you would chase 1,000 of you. Boy, my light got turned on that when that fellow over there in Iraq says, why do y'all need all of these soldiers over here just for a few people? Literally thousands of our troops are over there to fight a few people. I'll tell you why. It's called the curse of God is upon America. And one of them people can chase 1,000 of our troops. That's what the Word of God says. You better wake up, people. You better wake up and find out what your nation is involved in, what's going on in your nation right now. Ecclesiastes, hallelujah, the 12th chapter. And we're going to read 1 through 4. Remember now thy Creator in the day of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Oh, praise God. Boy, you're talking about you have lived in the best nation upon the face of the earth. You have been fed to the full of anything you wanted to eat. You ride in the best vehicles you want to drive. And I can see them $500,000 motor homes going down my road even though I don't have one. I said, thank you, dear God, that I'm living in a rich nation. Hallelujah. You've had the best of everything. But the judgment of God is not going to come upon this nation. The judgment of God is already upon this nation. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened, who desires the day of the Lord? The Scripture says, for it's a dark and evil day. Nor the clouds return after the rain. In that day, when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out at the window be darkened. Listen to this one now, people. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, We're having business after business after business that are closing up. Why? This nation is under the curse of God. When the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. People, when the bottom really drops out, you ain't going to hear too much singing. The last thing that you will want to do is, what are we going to do Friday night and Saturday night? That's going to be the last thing on people's mind. It's going to be, where can I get me a drink of water? And dear God, where can I find something to eat? When the sound of the grinding is low. You ever been in an industrial complex? Boy, when they're rolling, you got a lot of racket in there. Lots of racket. The noise, the grinding in America is getting low. The noise in the industry is shutting down. Who had warned you about what's happening to America? One more scripture. Let you think about it and consider it. Are you saved? Are you saved and you know it? If you're not, you need to come down to this altar and what we call pray till you pray through, till you know that you know that you're saved. Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. In the 5th verse, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? If you can't stay up with the footmen, don't think you're going to be able to stay with the cavalry. The reason you can't do that is because you didn't polish the glittering spear. Your feet and legs has done got feeble because of what's going on, and you're fearful. Revelation's got a bad news for fearful people. Says the fearful, abominable, ain't going to make it. There won't be any fearful people in the kingdom of God. They're just not going to make it. If thy eyes run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, that's where you're living right now, people, you had the best, you have had the best of everything. And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Say, Brother Don, what does that mean? You go back. When the children of Israel finally set their mind and heart, these children that grew up, Lord, we're just going to do what you say to do. God brought them up to the River Jordan and said, get ready to pass over. Now, these children had done seen God open the Red Sea. The children can remember a long time, people. And I'll guarantee you, they remember walking across to the Red Sea. And Jordan opened up. I like what the brother said about how far he opened it up. You got over 1 million people. It ain't like that little movie you see, the Ten Commandments. That thing had to open up about 3 miles for that many people to get across at that length of time. When it said the water gave water out of the rock, that wasn't a little stream. Brother, that was a river running. You got over 1 million people there. You got to wash your clothes. Thank God for water. You wash your clothes. If I was just a little stream running there, you would starve to death before you ever made it. Can you imagine how many people there would be sitting in line of over 1 million people with a cup of water? You never would get up there. There was a river. God sent a river through there. Hallelujah. If you hadn't come in to the kingdom of God in this rich and abundant land of America that you're living in, when God has opened the way for you, there's no hindrance. What are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? Brother, when you can't walk over on dry land anymore, what are you going to do when it was so simple just to come down to an altar when the Spirit of God dealt with you that you needed to get salvation to your soul, but you wouldn't come down when Jordan was wide open for you? You could walk right on down to the altar on dry land. Hallelujah! What are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? That means when the water comes back to the full, you'd have to be an awful good swimmer. You'd have to be an awful good swimmer. If you know anything about creeks, they got them, they call fords. Well, you can go across when the water's down. You can go right across. Brother, when that creek swells up, you ain't going to walk across that ford. It'll sweep you right on down stream. Are you saved? I say, are you saved? If you're saved, you can sing those songs of victory and praise when the challenger knocks on your door. You may get concerned. You may have to ask God, Lord, what should I do? And if you do, whatever challenger comes before you and you don't know what to do, you just get down and pray before God, and He'll give you an answer of what to do. And that challenger will have to flee. He will have to flee. I don't know how you're going to be challenged in your life. I know one thing. I got experience where you say, I don't see how David could have did that. The Lord showed me one day how easy it was for David. You don't never want to say, I wouldn't do that, because God will send a challenger to your doorstep. Then you'll know. God already knows. But then you will know who you are. Are you saved? I say, are you saved? And do you know it? People, there's a lot of things happening right now in this world. Don't let the things of this world cloud your mind to the truth of what's going on right now. In America, the grinding is getting low. In America, the doors are being shut. And the scripture says, what are you going to do when that happens? The people from McMinnville is running a dairy. Everything is pressed down right now. In Arkansas is going to subsidize the dairy farmers. You know why? Because if they don't, the dairy farmers will go out of business. And guess what? When you go down to that grocery store, you ain't going to see that gallon of milk there no more. Things are serious, people. This government is trying to do everything it can do to float the boat. But there's only one. Then keep it afloat. And his name is Jesus. Just like the brother says, if this nation would repent of their sins, you would see America start shining bright again. But if not, you're going to see judgments in this land that you have never seen before. It's not going to just hit the people that's uneducated. It's not going to hit the people that just knows how to do things. These people that's losing their franchise in the automobile world has been there 30 and 40 years. These people have got wealthy off of running their business. And they have woke up and their business is no more. You say, Brother Don, that's not going to happen to me. My bottle of water is always going to be there. And I'll go down to that grocery store and just buy whatever I want to. The scripture says that wisdom cries without. Wisdom in America right now is crying out. The doors are being shut. The industrial doors in America is being shut. And what are you going to do when God sent His Son to die for your sins, sent His Holy Spirit to convict you, that you need to get your heart right? You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! You say, Brother Don, how important is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit will let you know that you are saved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's just not that I believe I'm saved. I know I'm saved. One more thought, will you? I noticed there from some of the Grecians, I think it's called, that the widows was neglected, seemingly. And so they were murmuring a little bit, so Peter and him says, we're not going to leave the Word of God in prayer and start serving tables. And so what he said, you look out, men, I think of seven of them, that are full of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that if you didn't wasn't full of the Holy Ghost, you didn't even qualify to wait on tables. Amen. That was the qualifications. You look out seven men that's full of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Don, my goodness, what kind of benefit is waiting on widow women's table? They had some wonderful benefits. I'll shut up. I just got to get this benefit out. There was a fellow, his name was Philip. He was one of them that chose to wait on tables. God says, Philip, go down to the desert. And Philip didn't sit there and say, well, Lord, what am I going to do there? You just do things when God tells you to do it. Let him take care of what are you going to do when you get down there. And so he went down there, and here's a fellow going back home. He'd been worshiping in Jerusalem and reading the prophet. You ever see very many people that's got their Bible open when they leave church? Praise God. And said, draw nigh to this chariot. And so he did. And the fellow was reading, I think, Isaiah there concerning Christ. And the eunuch says, well, come on up here. So he stopped. Went up there and started preaching Christ. At the scripture that the eunuch was reading. And the eunuch believed and said, well, here's water. What does it hinder me to be baptized? And he says, if you believe with all your heart, you can. This salvation, people, is all about with all of your heart. And says after that, the Philip was caught away, and the eunuch saw him no more. You got good benefits when you work with God. God might put you in that heavenly chariot, and you'll get a ride in one of God's chariots if you're one of his ministers. There's benefits in serving the living God. Your bread and water is sure. Don't let the challenger slay you. Amen.